Evening, everybody. Guys, to see everyone and come together to learn a bit to Monday night. Just going to mute all participants currently, but please do chime in, if you will, if you have something to add or contribute. Just before beginning, in our community, we experienced a loss this week. Dr. Richard Levy, in fact, the shul just had a Zoom Shiva. It's just ending sort of as we speak. So I want to dedicate the words of Torah tonight that we learned together to Dr. Richard Levy, Zachronah Levracha, Alter Yitzchak, Ben Tzvi, HaKohen, and Defredel. His neshama should have an aliyah. His family should have long life and good health. And all the Torah that we learned should cause the soul to come even closer to the Kisei HaKavod. So what I want to do today is a bit different than what we've been doing. I sort of want to backtrack on something a little bit. I want to modify something that we said last week. I want to zoom in on something a little bit closer. And I think we'll come out with a deeper appreciation of what the Rambam was saying. So together, we've been learning with the Rambam's Torah, the thought of the Rambam. Our latest project generally has been Shmona Prakim, 8 chapters, which is the Rambam's introduction to Pirkei Avot. And over the last few weeks, we've really zoned in the Rambam's focus on character development, character perfection, and specifically on making sure one's character traits are calibrated such that they are in neither extreme in any category, right? Such that in terms of the category of how giving a person is, that they shouldn't be overly giving. They shouldn't give away everything that they have. The flip side, they shouldn't be miserly or stingy. And so is the case with every single character trait. Last week, I think, what I would say is we focused on a pretty controversial point in the Rambam. And just to jog your memory for a bit, the Rambam is sort of attacking a certain custom that he witnessed. And that was a certain tendency toward asceticism. A certain tendency to fast, to refrain from any sort of physical enjoyment, to not eat, to, you know, cause oneself physical pain. And the Rambam says people were doing this in what they say is a quest toward piety. They think it's going to make them better people. It's going to make them more pure. And he says they're making a horrific mistake. It's wrong. It's not right. This is not what the Torah wants. The Torah doesn't want us to fast. It doesn't want us to take on additional restrictions, certainly not additional physical restrictions. And the Rambam says this is totally off base. It's everything should be in the middle. We shouldn't be particularly addicted to physical pleasure or eating. We also shouldn't abstain from it altogether. And the Rambam says something even more extreme. He says, lest you think that, okay, well, what if a person finds themselves veering too strictly toward one extreme? Or if a person says, you know what, I have a tendency, say, to eat too much, and I think it's better to have self-control. And so I'm going to fast so that ultimately I can come to have self-control. So is that an appropriate perspective? The Rambam says, no. That's also not appropriate. It's not appropriate to fast in that instance either. And here's the Rambam says something pretty remarkable. He says, you know why? Because the mitzvot themselves are specifically designed toward making sure that all of our character traits are perfectly in line, toward moderation, so that you don't need to fast in order to make sure that you aren't particularly drawn by any sort of temptation. Because the reason the Torah says not to eat kosher, the reason the Torah enumerates all sorts of things we cannot eat, the reason the Torah tells us to fast every once in a while is because the Torah is doing that to make sure we don't get overly dependent upon physical pleasure and eating. That's the purpose of the mitzvot themselves. Therefore, the Torah, you don't need to accept any additional restrictions upon yourself to curb your tendencies and desires, because that's what simple shmirat halacha is there for. That's what mitzvot and avera are there for, to stop you from eating too much. And it's not just that. He enumerates almost every mitzvah. Let me share my screen with you for a bit to give you a few examples. A mitzvah that I think you and I would not have thought are for this purpose. I see I'm frozen there for a bit. Okay. There we go. I'm back. Hopefully you're still with me. So here's another example. It says, that in order to keep away from the other extreme of excessive bashfulness, we are told you shall indeed rebuke your neighbor. You shall not fear him. So the excessive bashfulness too should disappear in order that we pursue the medium course. What the Rambam is saying here is that there is a mitzvah to rebuke your fellow man. That if a person is, if you see a friend, do you hear me? Yes? No? Thumbs up if you hear me. So if you see someone and they're sinning, the Torah says you have to tell them, you know what you're doing is wrong. It's against the Torah. And to do it in a nice way, but to tell them the right way. Now, I would have thought the purpose of doing that, and we'll see some people do think this, the purpose of the mitzvah of rebuke is there in order to help your friend, to guide them toward the proper path. And you know what the Rambam is saying here? You know what the purpose of the mitzvah of tochacha, the mitzvah of rebuke is? It's geared toward you. It's because there's a tendency toward being bashful. Some people never want to speak up. It doesn't matter what happens. It could be they're witnessing the most egregious crime and they don't want to say anything. And they develop this tendency to be overly bashful. And so the Torah mandates speaking up in certain instances in order to direct that character trait toward the median path, to not be particularly, outspoken, and not to always be telling people what's on our mind, and to always, being overbearing. But at the other, and that's why we have to listen to the Chachamim, and we listen to our mother and father. And there's all sorts of people we need to respect so that we learn not to always speak over people. But on the other extreme, we have a mitzvah to rebuke so that we don't get overly bashful. To me, that's quite an extreme. And he says all mitzvot, almost all mitzvot, everything, charity, all the restrictions are all directed toward making sure that we have the appropriate outlook in regard to all these different character traits. That's
why can it be for the benefit of the other one as well?
That's okay, good. It could be, but that's not what the Rambam says here. I'm just telling you, this just happens to be not what he says. So, and I want to make one more point of review. I think you see this elsewhere. If you remember, the Rambam marshals a few proofs toward this end. He says you're not supposed to fast extra. Do you remember what they were? Anybody remember some of the examples the Rambam gave of someone who takes a vow that to abstain from certain pleasures and that the Rambam says that's not the appropriate thing to do? Well, give me an example of a certain character, maybe with long hair. Uh-huh. Yell it out, Marty. Come on, you know what I'm talking about.
Shimshon. Who else?
The Nazir, right? The Nazir. The Rambam, in the Torah, we have someone called the Nazir. Now, you're never obligated to be a Nazir. The Torah never says you have to be a Nazir and take a Nazirite vow. But a man or woman who takes a Nazirite vow agrees for a certain amount of time, to abstain from becoming impure and coming into contact with a dead body, to abstain from drinking wine and grape products, and to abstain from cutting their hair, right? And the Rambam says, that is a problem. Bad. Don't be a Nazir. And as we saw, he takes one side. The Gemara gives two opinions. One opinion is a Nazir is a Kadosh, a Nazir is holy. One opinion is a Nazir is a Chote. A Nazir is a sinner, a sinful person. The Rambam says, that's the right opinion. A Nazir is sinful. Isn't it enough? Didn't the Torah, and he quotes another Chazal, the Torah didn't give you enough averas? There aren't enough restrictions that you had to accept an additional restriction? Really? So the Rambam is critical of the Nazir, again, because it's an extreme. You don't need to accept additional restrictions. The Torah admits what are enough. So here's where I want to sort of modify. I want to zone in on a few things the Rambam says, show you a few alternatives, different opinions, and then I want to modify what we said. right? Because at this point, when I said last week, and I thought the sort of the impression that you get from the Rambam is that halacha is not only the floor, but it's also the ceiling, in the sense that a person shouldn't look to make additional mitzvot, to take on anything additional. We shouldn't be looking to add chumras and stringencies and to do more. No, 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 no. Whatever the Torah says, do. Do the mitzvot, don't do the averot, and that's enough. That is enough toward perfecting your character. So I'd like to modify that a bit, but first, I'd like to show that the Rambam is indeed taking a side on this issue, and there are other perspectives. Okay, so with that, I'm going to share you with my source sheet with you, and we'll learn some of this together, okay? So take a look here, and this is another example of a mitzvah that the Rambam has a very particular perspective on in terms of the reason for that mitzvah. I think you'll see that it's not so simple. So we pointed out tochacha, right? There's a mitzvah to rebuke one's friend. If you see someone sinning, that they're veering from the appropriate path, there's a mitzvah to guide them toward the appropriate path, right? The Sefer Achinuch was written, we're not sure exactly by who, but one of the medieval Rishonim, the medieval commentators. And what the Sefer Achinuch does is goes through the Chumash and goes through the Parsha and enumerates every single one of the mitzvot, all the biblical commandments. And this is the Sefer Achinuch's treatment of the mitzvah of Tochacha. So first he describes the mitzvah. He says, there's a mitzvah, Tochacha l'Yisrael she'ino hekashura. There's a mitzvah to rebuke you does not behave properly. Whether that person is sinning in realm of interpersonal relationships or in the realm of the relationship to God. It says you shall rebuke your friend. And he continues to describe some of the details of when you rebuke, what if they're not going to listen. It's a whole discussion. Should you rebuke someone if you know they're not going to listen to you? Etc. And then he gives us the reason. Now remember, what did the Rambam say is the reason for the mitzvah of rebuke? We just said it a few minutes ago. Why does the Rambam say the Torah commands us to rebuke our friends? Who is it for?
For yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. It's for you. So you aren't too bashful. Take a look at the Chinuch says here. And I don't think it's so surprising. It's just a contrast to the Rambam. The Chinuch always gives you the reason for a mitzvah. Look what he says here. Mishor she'a mitzvah. L'fi she'yesh b'zeh shalom v'tova b'in anashim. Because in this way, there will be peace among people. Ki kishayachta ish le'ish. If a person sins toward their fellow. V'yochichenu b'mistarim. And they rebuke them in private. Yit natzalef banav yikabel hitznatzlusov v'yishlam. Imo. That if a person wrongs you, and you don't say anything, so let's bury a grudge. That's not right. It's going to end up festering. It might lead to a quarrel at some point. That's not peace. Peace is when you go to them in private, so as to not embarrass them, and you tell them what they did wrong to you, and you make peace with them. If you don't rebuke them, right? You're going to rebuke him, and you're going to hate him inside of your heart, and you're going to damage them. He mentions the story, if you've read Shmuel Bet, between two of David HaMelech's children, where Amnon raped Avshalom's sister, and Avshalom didn't say anything about it. He ended up taking vengeance against Amnon. There was a whole war. Amnon was killed. So the Rambam's saying, you see that if you don't tell somebody what they did wrong, and it's bothering you, that it could lead to much worse. The whole Torah, as we say in Davening, all the ways of the Torah are meant to lead toward peace. Now you could take issue with the perspective here of rebuke will always cause peace. Maybe if it won't cause peace, there's a different, you know, considerations. All that is fine and well. But I would say that the Chinuch here is a different perspective, which is a lot more sensible, right? The reason that you rebuke someone is to improve your relationship with them. If they do something wrong to you, tell it to them. That makes a lot of sense. It's very intuitive. The Rambam, instead of saying something like that, because of his perspective of the importance of character, I would say over action, that the Torah is really interested in our acquisition of the appropriate virtues and character traits. The Rambam takes a mitzvah, which on a simple level could have been described as there to make peace, and he says it's there for you to acquire bashfulness.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
It reminds me here about Yaakov with Shimon and Levi.
Ah, yeah.
And he, Yaakov, did not rebuke, did not say anything. And
right.
it festered with him, because when it came time to bless the children, that's when he, I guess, rebuked them.
Right. It sounds like he
at the end of his life.
100%. So that's an interesting question. Why he didn't rebuke them right away? It's a great question. Maybe he didn't feel like he had any power over them at that point. That's a good question. But I think you're right. It's a good point. So now, so that's in regards to this specific perspective on various mitzvot. All the Rambam's taking all the mitzvot and saying they're all for one purpose. I'm not sure that everyone agrees with that perspective. That's what I'm arguing here. But now I want to contrast the Rambam versus the Ramban. I have the little title of my source sheet here is Halakha, our spiritual floor, our ceiling. I think what you'll see is the Ramban has a radically Ramban with a nun, Nachmanides, or Moshe ben Nachman, about 100 years after the Rambam. In fact, it's kind of interesting. They overlapped. Rambam and Ramban overlapped for about a year, like less than a year of their lives. The very last year of Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon's life, Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman was born. Kind of interesting. So Ramban is after the Rambam, but I think you'll see the Ramban has a totally different perspective on this in this regard about what halacha is there to do. And should we look at halachic restrictions as the floor or the ceiling? Take what the Ramban says here. I'm not going to read the entire thing. It's quite long, but it's about Kedoshim Tihiyu. There's a pasuk in the Torah, the beginning of Parsha Kedoshim, which says, you shall be holy. You shall be holy because I am holy. That's what God says. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to be holy? What is God asking from us when he tells us to be holy? That's the topic of the Ramban. And here's what he says. Ve'ayinyan. And the matter is, ki ha-Torah hizhira barayot u'machilei masurim. The Torah told us not to eat, not to partake in illicit relationships, and not to eat non-kosher. V'tira habia, excuse me, sorry about that. V'tira habia ish b'ishto v'chad basar v'yayim. But it allowed a man to cohabit with his wife and to eat meat and drink wine. M.K. Yinze bala taiva makom liho chatup ezimat ishto and ashav harbe. A person might find room to be totally steeped in sexuality with their wife or with many wives. And a person, just based on the Torah's restrictions, could think, it's okay, I can drink as much wine as I want, and I can eat as much meat as I want. There's nothing in the Torah that says you can't eat too much meat. There's no avera against drinking too much wine. And I can say whatever, I can be a foul mouth, I can be, you know, talk about filthy things, because if you're not, look at the Torah, you're not going to find any prohibition that says thou shalt not speak with a dirty tongue. It ain't there, not there. You're going to be someone who is despicable with the Torah's permission. If you would just go by the explicit prohibitions in the Torah, maybe all this would be okay. You could eat, you could drink, you could talk the way you wanted, you could do whatever you want as long as it's not pig. You know, you could get glot kosher meat, glot kosher wine, and fress and fress and fress and one kiddush club to another. Hey, okay, but it's not against halacha. You can't tell me, how do you know, Rabbi, that's a problem? Who says it's a problem? Says the Rabban, this is why it's a problem. L'fika ba katov. Therefore, the Torah says, acharei shapira teisurim sha'atzar tam legamra. After explicating the prohibitions that it said were totally a problem, v'tziva v'divar klali, sheniya perushim namotarot, that we should be separate from vanities, from that which is
extra. Yemai b'mishkal. You said, and he goes through all these examples. And here's where we'll skip a little bit. The Ramban says, and you can look here at the English while I talk about it. Sorry, it's a little bit, it's hard to get both of the screen at once. But his point is, that is what the Torah is saying by be holy. Be holy means have self-control. It means even though there's no explicit prohibition against eating too much meat and being a glutton, be holy. You have to live a sanctified lifestyle, which means you can't be a glutton and you can't talk dirty. And the Ramban says you can't be filthy. You can't be physically unclean and you shouldn't be impure. And look what the Ramban says here about the Nazir. Therefore, scripture came after it specified the prohibitions over the English here that it completely forbade and commanded a more general rule that we should be separate from indulgence of those things that are permissible. You should minimize sexual relations. You should sanctify himself from wine by minimizing it. Just as scripture calls the Nazir holy. The Nazir is holy, says the Ramban. You also be holy, like the Nazir. Don't drink too much wine. And so too he should separate himself from impurity. The Nazir doesn't become impure. You also shouldn't be impure. Be holy. And he goes on and on and on about all these different things that are not explicitly prohibited in the Torah, but are a problem. So I think you see, and it's a beautiful Ramban, it's a very important one. And he quotes another verse in the Torah, which is in the realm of interpersonal relationships, right? Because the Torah says, don't steal, don't murder, etc., etc. Well, what about generally being a good person? You know, like, I don't know, where does it say in the Torah you can't cut the line when you're waiting on line in the supermarket? I don't know. It doesn't say that in the Torah. Maybe you could. Maybe you could say, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. But the Ramban says, yeah, I have a pasuk for you. It says, V'yasita t'yashar v'yatov. V'yasita tov v'yashar, rather. You shall do that which is straight and good. That means be a good person. I can't tell you all the specifics. I'm not going to go through every single situation in your life and tell you what to do. In every single scenario, I'm giving you a general rule. Be a good, a straight, and upright person. So I think you see pretty clearly here that the Ramban is saying, no, it's not that everything that the Torah says is all you have to be careful about, but everything else, there's no reason for any restrictions. There's kedoshim tiyu, be holy. That includes all areas of life. Moderate all your behavior such that you shouldn't indulge, right? So I think you see a difference there. The Ramban sounds like he's saying halacha is like the floor. The Torah explicates some things, but the Torah also gives you a general rule to be holy. And you determine in every scenario in your life what it means to be holy and the types of restrictions you should take upon yourself to guard that sanctity. What does the Rambam say about this commandment? Right? The Rambam also read the Chumash. The Rambam also read the pasuk that says, you shall be holy. What does he say? So the Rambam actually, you know, I'm going to make this a little smaller. Maybe. The Rambam has a, the Rambam has this commandment, but the Rambam has a rule. I'm just going to make this a little smaller for a second. The rule the Rambam has certain rules which guide what's considered a mitzvah and what is not considered a mitzvah. Put this back. Let's see. And the Rambam has here certain things where he says, listen, I'm not going to count every pasuk in the Torah as a mitzvah. There are some things that are part of the 613 mitzvah. There are some things that are not. And one of the things he says is, don't think kedoshim to you as a mitzvah. This commandment to be holy is not a separate mitzvah. It's not. There's no specific mitzvah saying that you should be holy. You know what the Torah is saying when it says be holy? You know what it wants you to do? Take a look at what he says here. V'lo yada, ki omrim kedoshim tiyu, v'ska Hashem v'sen kedoshim, hein tzivuyim l'kayim kol haTorah. When the Torah says be holy, you know what it's saying? How are you holy? You're holy by keeping the Torah. That's all it means. Be holy means keep the entire Torah. Be holy means keep the mitzvot, don't do avera, right? That's what all it means. I'll read you a bit of it here in the English. It is as if it said, be holy by doing everything I have commanded you and being careful about anything I have prohibited to you. So you see what the distinction here. The Ramban looks at the Torah, the Pasuk, Kedoshim Tiyu, and says, Kedoshim Tiyu means the mitzvot and the averot aren't the whole picture. There's averot, there's mitzvot, and then there's everything else. There's a general guideline. Even the things that are permissible to you, limits. The Rambam, Maimonides, looks at that and says, all Kedoshim Tiyu means is to be observant of the mitzvot. Keep the Torah. That is Kedusha. Sanctity means keeping the Torah and the mitzvot. And we understand why. Because the Torah and the mitzvot aren't just a random arbitrary list of do's and don'ts. The Torah and the mitzvot are there to help perfect your character. If you keep the Torah and the mitzvot properly, you will be holy. That's what the Rambam is saying here. Okay? Clear? Right? So I think you see a clear distinction here. And I think you see it again with the Nazir. Again, the Ramban was very much praised the Nazir. Very forthcoming in his praise. Don't drink wine. Don't drink too much wine. Like the Nazir doesn't drink wine. Ramban says, don't become impure. Like the Nazir can't become impure. So we noted last time that at the end of Nazirut, at the end of the period of the Nazirite vow, you bring karbanot, you bring sacrifices. And one of the sacrifices you bring is a sin offering. A sin offering is usually brought for sinful behavior. And a Nazir brings a sin offering. Now, according to the Rambam, help me out here. According to the Rambam, according to Maimonides, why would a Nazir bring a sin offering? In what way, according to Rambam, with a mem, did the Nazir sin?
Because he's gone over the top?
Yeah, exactly. Because he took on an extra restriction. Because he was too much abstinent. The Torah didn't say you should do that, and you did it anyway. Look what Ramban says here. I'll read you the English. The reason Ramban with the Nun Nachmanides on the Torah, says Ramban, the reason why a Nazirite must bring a sin offering when the days of his Nazirite-hood are fulfilled has not been explained. It doesn't say in the Torah why. In accordance with the plain meaning of Scripture, it is because this man sins against his soul on the day of his completion of his Nazirite-hood. That is quite an English word, Nazirite-hood. I think we should go with Nizirut. For until now, he was separated in sanctity in the service of God, and he should therefore have remained separated forever, continuing all his life consecrated and sanctified to his God. You should have been a Nazir forever. As it is said, and I raised up of your sons for prophets and of your young men for Nazirites, where Scripture compares the Nazirite to a prophet. This Pasuk in Amos is talking about how wonderful we're going to all be at the end of days. And how does the Navi express our lofty spiritual stature? We're going to be prophets and Nizirim. Where Scripture compares, as is written, all the days of his Nizirut, he is holy. Thus, when he completes his Nizirut and returns to his normal life, he requires atonement since he goes back to be defiled by material desires of this world. According to Ramban, why is it that the Nazir brings a karban chatat, brings a sin offering? In what way, according to Ramban, with a nun, did the Nazir sin? Go for it, Gail.
He brings a korban because he's no longer continuing this special level.
Exactly. The sin is stopping to be a Nazir. You should have been a Nazir forever. No more wine, no more cutting your
hasn't
hair.
Hasn't the Torah put a limit on his Nazirus?
No, there's no limit. There's no limit. There's a minimum. The minimum is generally 30 days.
Minimum is 30 days?
Yeah, but there's no maximum. In fact, I think there's someone today. There have been people in recent history who have been Nazirim for their whole life. You could be a Nazir. Shimshon. You could be a Nazir for your whole life. And the Rabban says, you know what? You should. You should. If you and once you start, don't you can't stop, right? Like keep on going. Why are you drinking wine all of a sudden? It's quite a difference in perspective, right? So I think to some degree, at least in the realm of abstinence, you see that that the Ramban and Rambam had totally different perspectives. The Rambam is very discouraging of taking on additional restrictions, which restrict our ability to partake in eating and drinking physical pleasure. And the Ramban says, no, not at all. Abstinence, the more the merrier. If you want to fast, if you want to be a Nazir and not drink wine, great. In fact, you could do it forever. And if you stop, it's a sin. Not a literal sin, but you bring a sin offer, right? So here's the problem, right? Maybe we'll pause from a screen share for a second. I want to ask you. At this point, we essentially said, we'll get back to the source sheet in a second, and the Rambam says, you're not supposed to do anything. You're not supposed to go above and beyond the mitzvah of Aveira, right? That you should just stick to what the Torah says. Now, I don't think that's actually accurate. I think it's more nuanced than that. It's more specific than that. I'd like to ask you what problems you might have with that. What do you think? What problems do you have with this notion that just do mitzvot, just don't do Aveira, and that will be enough to direct you toward a spiritual lifestyle? What do you think? Is that, what problems do you have with that sort of perspective that the Rambam, we're seeing from the Rambam here? Or, to put it differently, what do you think, how would the Rambam, you know, think about what the Ramban said. Is it true that all you need are mitzvah and avero and that can guide all of your activity? Is that necessarily the truth? What do you think, Gail?
And I do think there are some mitzvot that are catch-alls. I mean, right. Just like, you know, the mitzvah, like you said before, of Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha, the mitzvah of V'chai Bahem, you should live by them. You shouldn't be doing things maybe to that would hurt yourself.
Right.
I don't know. I think there are just the fact that everybody is created in Tzelem Elokim. I mean, and I guess that goes to Ahavta L'Reacha Kamocha. I think there are these catch-alls that have a farther reach than we're discussing.
I hear you. So first of all, I think that's 100% right. And I think the Rambam has to agree to that. To say that all you have to do is whatever it says thou shalt not do or thou shalt do is a very, very sort of, you know, narrow perspective, right? We live, if you want to live a maximalist spiritual life, the Torah itself seems to have broad principles, broad values that we're meant to live by. So I think Gail's making a great point. It's hard to suggest. Go for it, Yitzhak. Say, Yitzhak, raise his hand over here. Go for it. Yeah, Yitzhak, go for it.
Okay. I was just wondering that maybe from the Rambam's perspective, his issues with taking on Nazirut like as a free will kind of thing, like I'm going to do this because it's more to do, whereas maybe the fact that it's in the Torah, it's probably implemented for the reason of like from Rambam's perspective, it might be prescriptive, like some people need to become Nazirut.
Right. So I totally hear that. Maybe it's right for the right person. But the thing is, the Rambam seems to generally be discouraging of it, mm-hmm. right?
But it would be, it's still different from the Ramban's perspective where he's like promoting it for everybody.
It sounds like, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's, at least if you started, which means you can do it, then why are you stopping, right? At the very least, right? 100%. Go for it, Ruth. I think you're still on mute.
I think that the focus is on restriction of desires. I think Rambam is against that idea, going beyond a certain boundary, and the Ramban is pro restricting your desires beyond a certain boundary.
So maybe it's more specific. It's more specific to the realm of physical desire. I hear that. Go for it, Ruth. If you think you need to unmute. You know, if you can figure that out. There you go.
I always heard my father say the middle is slippery. Well, you have personality. When you come to observe anything, you bring that.
Right. It's hard to keep the middle.
You can't just say, I'm going to go in the middle if you're never going to agree to that with your own soul. Like you have to make a choice.
Okay, it's challenging. So Yeah. So what I want to show you, by the way, is that the Rambam doesn't actually think there's never going beyond it. Because I think it's a very basic question. Gail, I think you essentially emailed this to me over the weekend and sort of made me think about this a little bit differently. And Paul asked a similar thing, meaning, so let me ask you a question, right? The Rambam says you're not supposed to be a glutton, right? I think the Rambam disagrees. Can the Rambam disagree with that? Like, it's okay to be a glutton according to the Rambam? That seems, so that's not true, because the Rambam says you're supposed to be in the middle, right? The Rambam says you're supposed to have the middle path, that you shouldn't be particularly gluttonous, or you shouldn't fast all the time. I'm just picking eating, that's an easy one, but that's true with every character trait. So if that's so, then clearly there are, again, it's objectively true. There's nothing in the Torah that says you shall not be a glutton according to the Rambam. There's no explicit command. And yet the Rambam clearly thinks that it's not right to do those things, clearly. And I'll give you another example. Here we go back to the source sheet for a second, okay? I'm waiting more than a second. I know I always say that. So this is a very well-known Rambam. It's a very important Rambam. Difficult topic, the topic of slavery. As you may know, the Torah does allow for the possibility of slavery. There's Eved Ivri. You can have a Jewish slave that has certain rules. There's Eved Kenani, which is a non-Jewish slave that has different rules. And the Rambam Shir specifically distinguishes between what the Torah allows based on the letter of the law and the values of the Torah, what the Torah wants from us. Now, I'll read it to you in English, just for time's sake. It says the Rambam, it is permissible to the end of the laws of slavery. It is permissible to work at the heathen slave relentlessly. It says, based on letter of the law, you can work a heathen slave, a non-Jewish slave, relentlessly. Even though it is lawful, the quality of benevolence and the paths of wisdom demand of a human being to be merciful and striving for justice. So I get the Hebrew term there. I think it's important. Midat chasidut bedarchei chokhma, the Rambam talks about. The attributes of piety and the ways of wisdom demand that a person be merciful and striving for justice. One should not press his heavy yoke on his slave and torment him, but should give him to eat and drink of everything. The sages of old were in the habit of sharing with the slave of every dish they ate, and they fed the cattle as well as the slaves before they themselves sat down to eat. Nor should a master disgrace his servant by hand or by words. The biblical law surrendered them to servitude, but not to disgrace. He should not madly scream at his servant, but speak to him gently and listen to his complaints. Cruelty is frequently to be found only among heathens who worship idols. The progeny of our father Abraham, however, the people of Israel, upon whom God bestowed the goodness of the Torah, commanding him to keep the laws of goodness, are merciful toward all creatures. So too, in speaking of the divine attributes which he has commanded us to imitate, and that's an important notion there, imitating God, b'halachta b'drachav, which is really, if you look at Hilchot Deo, the Rambam's big idea about developing our character, so too in speaking of the divine attributes, which he has commanded us to imitate, the psalmist says, his mercy is over all his works. Hashem is merciful toward everything. Whoever is merciful will receive mercy as it is written. He will be merciful and compassionate to you and multiply you. So what's the Rambam saying here? According to the letter of the law, halacha, straight avero, are you allowed to be cruel to your slave? Yes. And yet, what does the Rambam say? Don't do it. Don't do it. It's wrong. Why? Midat chasidut, the attributes of piety. Darkei chokhma, the ways of wisdom. Right? And he quotes, imitate God. So you see here that clearly the Rambam saying just because it's allowed doesn't mean you should do it. Clearly, there are greater values. We should be merciful. We should promote peace and behave some halachically. And we could ask why the halacha should allow such a thing at all. It's an interesting question, certainly a bothersome question. But the point the Rambam is saying is just because the Torah allows you to do X, Y, and Z doesn't mean it's good to do X, Y, and Z. Clearly, the Rambam thinks this is true. I'll give you a better proof. The one proof. Yeah, go for it, Andrew.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, Charlie. Yeah, go for it.
Where in the Torah does it say you could be cruel to a non-Jew who's a servant? Where does it say that?
So it, where did it say that? So it didn't say. So it actually, the implication, we can look at it inside another time. The Torah says specifically by an Eved Ivri, los tirdabo b'farach, that you shouldn't work the Eved Ivri, the Jewish slave, excessively. And then it contrasts that with the Eved Kenani and says, the olam behem tavodi, you shall enslave them forever. So it doesn't say explicitly that you should, but the implication of the Rambam, and it's based on the Gemara, the implication is that it's specifically regarding the Eved Ivri. The Torah says you are not allowed to overwork them. The indication is that based on letter of the law, you would be allowed to work the non-Jewish slave excessively.
Well, that sounds like someone's trying to read between the lines.
We can study the laws of slavery. We can look at that pasuk. It's not my point isn't that specific law, but the Rambam does say, regardless of how he derived it, that according to the letter of the law, you are allowed to do this. But I'm telling you, it's wrong. Fair? I mean, that's a clear indication from the Rambam. I'll give you a better proof. The truth is, I can just go further in the 8 chapters in what we've been learning, because you know what the Rambam tells us in the next chapter? He tells us all sorts of things that we really ought to do and ought not to do, and none of them have specific prohibitions. I'm telling you, but I'll bring it to you from another source, which is very similar. The Rambam has in his Mishnah Torah, sort of doing a brief review here. We've been learning the introduction to the Mishnah. It's specifically the introduction to the Mishnah of Avot. The Rambam is his encyclopedic work. Mishnah Torah has one area which is called Hilchot Deot, laws of dispositions, which is very similar to what we've been learning. In that area of the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam also talks at length about halach, about the golden mean, about not being in either extreme in any character trait. And in that book, here's what the Rambam writes, chapter 3. Here, what you'll see, I'm not going to read it inside because you've read it, a lot of it together. The Rambam says the same thing we've been saying. Lest you think, I'll read the beginning here. Since, lest the person say that envy and desire and vain glory, kavod, excessive honor, are wrong and they're evil and they bring a person out of this world. Therefore, I will not, he will eat no meat, drink no wine, marry no women, dwell in no comfortable quarters, dress in no proper clothes, but in second course wool and the like, as for instance, the idolatrous priests do. And he was calling out the monks who are doing all this stuff and they're abstinent, they live apart from the people. Lest the person say that, he says, even such is an evil way, it is forbidden to follow it. He who follows this way is called a sinner for the sin of the Nazir, and make an atonement for him because he has sinned against the soul. Whereupon the sages said, the Nazirite who did not separate himself from aught but wine must have atonement. Who deprived himself from each and everything, how manifold must an atonement be? So again, the Rambam is saying the same thing. Don't live with abstinence. Don't take on extra restrictions. Look what he says here. Sarecha adam shechalein libo v'chol ma'asav kulam. Leidai tashem baruchu b'vad. A person should direct his heart and all of his actions toward knowing God alone. B'yashifto v'kumo v'diburo. Hakol umat zehadavar. Everything a person does, they're sitting, they're getting up, their speech should all be directed toward this end. Ketzad. Kesha yiseh v'yitenu yaseh malacha litol schar. When a person does work, lo yeh b'libo likbot mamon b'lvad. They should not have the intention of gathering any money. You should work so that you can earn a living and you can have what to eat and drink and to marry and to live in a house. He says the same thing with intercourse and with eating and with drinking and with sleeping. Everything should be directed toward the end of serving God. And therefore the Rambam says, I don't have it here, unfortunately. The Rambam, you would see in the next, he therefore says, oh, he has it here. Ketzad, excuse me. Misha haya besaro cham. Lefikach, excuse me. I'll read it from here. Lefikach, therefore. Lo yochal kol shachig mitaveh kekela vechamor. Don't eat everything that's sweet, like a donkey or a dog. Ela yochal dvar mamirin lego. eat healthy food. Right? It's like your mom talking. Says the Rambam, eat healthy food. Im marim im mitukim, if they're bitter or sweet. Don't eat things that are not healthy for you to taste good. Somebody who has warm flesh and eat meat or drink wine or eat honey. He has a whole thing here of things that you shouldn't do. Good. Let me ask you a question for a second. To say anywhere in the Torah that you have to eat healthy? Is there any pasuk? Okay, maybe you're going to call me Vishmartem.
Vishmartem is not.
So the Rama doesn't quote that here, actually. It's interesting. On a simple level, in the context, it's not actually what it means. It's in the context of serving idolatry. That's for another point. The Rambam clearly thinks that there are things that you should or should not do that are not in the Torah. Clearly. I'll tell you why. The Rambam wants to do everything for the purpose of life. As we've read this entire time, for the Rambam, the goal of life is the knowledge, the attainment of the knowledge of God. And therefore, by definition, and everything that you should be directed toward that goal, what you eat, what you drink, what you say. And therefore, should the Rambam, if the person's going to the fifth Kiddush club that day, and they're eating and drinking, and they ask the Rambam, well, Rambam, it doesn't say in the Torah you can't do this. The Rambam's going to say, what are you talking about? The whole purpose of your entire life is directed toward the knowledge of God. Is this helping your knowledge of God? Another person say, then fine. Okay, that's an interesting discussion. But if it's not, and you're just eating because you like to, and you like stuffing yourself, then the Rambam will say that that's not right, because all your actions should be directed toward the end. Behold, drachecha de'ehu, know him in all of your ways. But even more than that, it's obvious. If we're put here for a purpose, we should direct our actions toward that purpose. You don't need a specific thing to tell you that you shouldn't be a glutton or shouldn't go around wasting your time, which we'll read about next week. The Rambam is very particular about how we talk and what we talk about, and all very particular about the way we use our time. Rambam, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you can't speak excessively.
Where is the pasuk in the Torah for that? Where is the pasuk in the Torah for that? Like you should know God.
Bechol drachecha de'eyu is in Mishle, but I'm saying I don't even think you need that.
But wait a sec. I'm talking about Torah directly, Mina Shemaim. Torah.
This is my point. Bible. I think
not Rabbanan.
Wait a second. I don't think the Rambam actually thinks that there's nothing that you can't do as long as it's not prohibited in the Torah. I think the Rambam clearly thinks there are things that we should refrain from and should specifically do that are not explicit in the Torah. I think to ask the Rambam, well, how do you know it's not in the Torah? Rambam thinks it's obvious. If the purpose of life is to know God, then obviously your actions should be directed toward that end. So then, what is the Rambam telling us we shouldn't do? I think it's very specific. The Rambam thinks you have to live toward the middle path. The middle path is what's right. Extremes are wrong. Because of that, the Rambam is saying abstinence and specifically fasting and specifically giving yourself extra commandments, so that it's not just that you're not going to drink so much, you're not going to overdrink, or you're not going to overdo it, but it's a restriction that prohibits you from doing any of it. That's what the Rambam has a problem with. To not drink any wine is not the middle path. To fast is not the middle path. To cause oneself pain and affliction is not the middle path. So what I'm arguing is, while I think there is a distinction, a difference in the perspective between Ramban and Rambam, where the Ramban seems to be open to a certain abstinence and additional restrictions, the Rambam isn't open to that, but not because he thinks that the halacha is always the ceiling. Clearly, he thinks there are certain things we should strive for which aren't prohibited or prescribed specifically in the Torah, but rather this all flows from the Rambam's perspective on not everything in moderation, on not being on either extreme. And in that vein, making an oath to not eat or to not drink or to not drink wine is considered excessive. The Rambam thinks you don't need additional bona fide restrictions. That doesn't mean that you should just do whatever you want as long as the Torah doesn't say so. That doesn't mean that of course you shouldn't do that. That's not the purpose of our purpose in this world. But what it does mean is don't overdo it. specifically in the realm of abstinence, there's no need to take upon additional restrictions. You should simply eat and drink what's good for you. And you should simply, you know, engage in this world to the degree that you need in order to serve God and do no more or less, but to restrict yourself and abstain entirely, the Rambam thinks is inappropriate. So I think we think even, and I think the point then is, whether you're like the Rambam or the Ramban, clearly we have, as Gail was saying before, greater goals. We have to be good and merciful people. There is a notion of Darkei HaChokhmah, the ways of wisdom dictate we should be merciful and compassionate to everyone in every scenario. What the Rambam is saying is that you shouldn't take an oath to restrict yourself to an extreme. Because the extreme in every area, says the Rambam, is inappropriate. And I think that is the appropriate way to understand this Rambam. So that, yes, in everything that we do, the Rambam and the Ramban with different perspectives are telling us that before we do it, we should think, is this helping me in my goal in life? Being a better person, you know, a better family person, a better servant of God, or is it not? And if it's not, then I shouldn't be doing it. Whether that's not because of an oath, just because of that's the reason why I'm here, to live in God's world. So we're going to pause here. We'll continue with more next week. Thank you for your participation and your questions and for listening. And please, God, we'll pick it up more next week. Night, everybody.
Thanks.